And welcome to this week's Pastor's Cut podcast. This is for January 23rd, and you need to know why that music plays in the intro. We're all kind of subtly swaying and dancing here in the studio. And I think
you literally missed Darren Spoo busting a move.
I still have some moves. Some moves from the 80s, kind of do the wave with your arms and your hands. Mm-hmm. I can do that. That's my one signature move. Hey, and this is just our second week of doing the podcast, and already we have fans. So, Dave, you want to let us know how many people are listening?
Yeah, I'm encouraged. We have 118 people as of 11 a.m. yesterday that have downloaded and listened to this podcast, so that's fun.
It's a runaway success, so I think I'm going to be Steve Martin, and you're going to be Martin Short, Dave, and Marissa, you're Selena Gomez.
I'll take it.
And if somebody doesn't get that cultural reference, then they should stop what they're doing right now and watch Murders Only in the Building.
I guess I need to stop what I'm doing and go watch that movie before we finish this podcast.
What you're doing. And probably we'll get some listener mail that will say you shouldn't be watching that show, but it's a pretty good show. That's all I'm going to say. All right, and Brad is over here in the studio. Brad, wave at the folks at home. And he wanted his own microphone before we began today, but we said no.
But Brad did give us the aluminum award for 118 listeners, so that's something.
Everyone could do platinum. We're aluminum. That's right.
Or recyclable.
That's right. And as the Brits would say, what do they say?
Aluminium.
Aluminium. That's right. All right, so let's jump into the text. You are not here to hear British pronunciations, but that's always a little bit fun. We are in Luke chapter 5. This week, we're continuing our walking through the life of Jesus through the eyes of Luke, and we're in Luke 5, where Jesus calls his first disciples. And all the Gospels present this in a little different way as to who Jesus called first, but Luke's thrust is Peter is the leader of the disciples, and so in his mind, it makes sense to record his calling first, okay? So I'm going to kind of just direct traffic today. And before I make a few comments, Marissa, what you got this week? And this is Luke 5, 1 through 11.
All right. Before we get too far into it, should we read the text? Would that be helpful for us?
You know, okay. So Dave, since
I volunteered, I might as well just go ahead.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Luke 5, 1 through 11.
One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Dave, what a wonderful reading of Scripture. You did that really well, especially Gennesaret. You just you nailed that pronunciation very, very good, which is the same as the Sea of Galilee, right. Just a different name. It was a Roman name for that same sea. Okay, so now, with Dave's permission, we're going to talk to Marissa just a little bit. Dave, you cool with that?
And now we're good.
Okay, we're good. All right, Marissa, what's the thing that stands out to you? If you were teaching this, By the way, who's writing the pastor's cut this week?
I'll be doing that.
Marissa's writing it. Yeah. So Marissa, if you're writing the pastor's cut, what is one thing you want everyone to know?
Well, one of the things I love about this story is it reveals why Jesus chose Simon Peter as a disciple. Another rabbi might go to the synagogue. He might get the most qualified and gifted students there. And Jesus went to the lakeshore. So Peter had spent all night fishing. He was weary. He was defeated. He had the skill as a fisherman. He had the experience, the strength, the willingness to work hard. And still he had come up empty-handed. And in the case of fishing, Simon was a master, not Jesus. So what could Jesus, this scholar, a rabbi, a builder by trade, what could he have to teach Simon about fishing? And the request that Jesus made, too, was ridiculous because you fish at nighttime. So if if no fish had been caught at night, then during the day, that was a ridiculous request. This extra effort that he had done, this waste of time and effort he was willing to do, he still obeyed. And I really love that about him. How many of us would allow a person we just met to tell us how to do our job at the end of a day that had been long and devastating? We often don't think of Simon Peter as a humble man, but that's exactly why Jesus chose him, because he had that openness and humility displayed here that revealed his potential as a disciple. And that's what a good teacher loves more than an intelligence, more than innate ability or skill. They want someone who is open and humble. So in verse 8, in the rest of the chapter, Luke refers to Simon by his given name, by Simon. But in verse 8, he calls him Simon Peter, Simon the Rock. And I love the poetry there of a rock falling to his knees.
Mm. That is good. You know, there's so much about what Jesus says here. Nothing that Jesus commands or that Simon Peter does makes sense. You know, tells him to go out and fish during the day when he had just tried to fish at night. Said go out into deep water. Most likely the kind of net that Simon was using at this point would have been a drag net, and that works best closer to the shore. But Jesus says, let's go out where it's deep. And then what really doesn't make sense, after this miraculous catch of fish, two boatloads, got to be careful how you say that, but two boatloads of fish.
And enunciate.
Yeah, there you go. And they walk away from all of it. Did they give that to Zebedee? Probably so. You know, somebody would take those fish in, but they walked away from this huge profit. Nothing about this scene makes sense. And I think that's one of the challenges of being a follower of Jesus is, and by the way, I think common sense is a good thing. But also there are times when we follow Jesus, even when something doesn't make sense on the surface, that's why it's called faith. That's why it's called faith. The thing I like about this passage, and I am trying to spend time not only studying through the Scripture, but praying through the Scripture each week, and I would encourage our teachers to do the same thing, to practice, if you know the phrase, Lectio Divina, to pray through it. It adds a power to our ability to teach as we've prayed through these things. But I see the people here in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says they were doing two things. They were crowding around him and listening to him. And I see an instant contrast to Peter. Peter was just there cleaning his net. He was doing other things. He was distracted by the grind of his job and his to-do list. You know, he probably just wanted to go home and go to sleep. But the other people there, they were hungry. They were hungry to be with Jesus, and they were hungry to hear his words. And at least initially in this story, Simon Peter is probably distracted by other things. He had other things on his mind. And so for me as a pastor, you know, just asking that application question, what are the things in our daily life that often just distract us from being in the presence of God and hearing the voice of Jesus in our daily life? That's a challenge here for Peter, and I think daily for us as well. And I know that my relationship with God is at its best when I just want to be with Jesus and I want to listen to him when I'm hungry. So, all right, Dave, what do you got?
So I love the transformation that Peter walks through as someone who was already had some pattern of following Jesus. Just the chapter before last week, we talked about how Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And so he had some relationship with Jesus. He probably was casually listening on the side, very distracted by his work. as soon as he went out into the water, something happened that literally caused a flip in his mind. And he moved from this casual observer calling Jesus a master, as he would have been a master fisherman, just some normal person, to personalizing Jesus as his Lord, saying, "You're my Kurios, you're my Lord, you're the guy that I can totally trust, but I'm not even worthy of being around you." And that worthiness, it's not necessarily in from the Greek, like he's saying, "I'm this mass murderer, you have to stay away from me," but more this awareness that all of a sudden he realized who Jesus was, that Jesus was a lot more than just some teacher, some master, some guy that could tell him a couple of things.
By the way, can I play off that for just a second? Can I interrupt you?
Go ahead.
Good, because I am.
Well, whether you choose, whether I say yes or no, I know you're going to. So by all means.
Thank you, Martin Short. So interesting in Luke, and this is not 100% match, but it overarching, if a person approached Jesus and they were a stranger to him, they would call him teacher. If they were acquainted with Jesus, they would call him master. If they followed Jesus, they would call him Lord. Now, that's not 100% match in Luke, but that's the overall trend. And so here, in verse 5, Simon Peter calls Jesus master. So he's probably acquainted with him in some way. But then by the end of this whole story, he's calling him Lord. So something fundamentally had changed in Peter's relationship with Jesus. So anyway, I found that to be very interesting. Thank you for letting me interrupt, Dave.
Absolutely. Yes, glad I could do that. So I find it fascinating that Peter's journey is a lot like ours, where we can be around Jesus. So many of us can attend church and see people experience God's presence. But there's something within us that at some point it clicks, it all connects. We have that aha moment where we realize Jesus just interrupted my world. He didn't just interrupt my wife's world or my neighbor's world or this person that sits two rows behind me. He just got real close to me, real personal. And everybody's journey, you never know whether it takes one time, whether it takes 10 times, whether it takes 100 times for them to have an encounter with Jesus before they personalize Jesus for the first time. So in some ways, I even find that as an encouragement for us as we're trying to encourage other people around us to find faith in Jesus, that as we share with them, we don't know where they're at on their journey, but as we keep inviting them, hey, you can find hope in Jesus, at some point it will click, it will connect, and they will recognize who Jesus is and say, "Wow, I really do need you."
And I think one of the dangerous prayers to pray is, "Lord, get my attention." And when he does, we realize, or we have this sense in which all the life we've lived up to that moment, we've lived as though we were half asleep, and now we are fully awake. And that's what Jesus calls us to, and that's what happens to Peter here. He's one minute he's just, cleaning his nets, doing what he's done 1,000 times, and the next moment he is fully awake and aware of who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. So I do want to take us to the last paragraph of this passage. Anything else y'all are just dying to say before I do that?
Well, to talk about what you were just talking about the abundance and the scarcity of the situation, that they were not walking away from scarcity, but from abundance. And I think that every time that God blesses us, it's a potential revelation. God allows blessings in our life in order to pull back a corner a little bit and reveal the satisfaction that goes beyond our physiological needs, the fish or the money or the security, and it touches the real eternal abundance that God provides. And that's what Simon and Peter saw in the miracle of the fish. It awakened their souls to the possibilities of life with Jesus.
That's right. Very good. So the last two commands that Jesus gives to Simon, and if I'm teaching this, in fact, hey, I am. I'll be preaching this. This is where it's going to land. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. And I find those to be two very compelling commands. And I want to talk about fear for just a moment here, because if there's ever a time where we've identified angst and anxiety as being a part of everyone's life, it's here. So I don't know if in y'all's study y'all reflected on anything concerning fear and what God has to say to us. What I often do, and if you've been around First Tulsa for a while, you know that about once a year, I'll stop in the middle of the sermon and I'll say, if God were to say 3 words to us today, if Jesus were to stand on this platform in my place and say 3 words, here's what he would say: I've got you. Mm. And we forget that. And when we forget that, that's when we live in fear. And whether it's a pandemic or the political situation or the polarization of our culture, there's a lot to be, we have every reason to be afraid, except for one. Jesus got you. That wasn't very grammatically correct, but he's
Jesus got you.
That's all right. Jesus got us.
Jesus got you. And for those who are preparing to teach this, maybe you needed to hear that right now. He's got you. He's got me. Any reflections on fear that you guys came across? And if you don't, that's okay.
Obviously, there's something there about when we recognize how great God is and how we don't necessarily fit in the same ballpark as God. Jesus, in that moment, spoke to Peter and said, hey, it's okay. I still want you here with me. And I think Jesus would tell us, no matter how much we feel convicted because we don't do things perfect every day, day in and day out, no matter how many times we make mistakes, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our unrighteousness when we ask for it. He's walking with us all the time. Yeah. Jesus got us.
Jesus got us. Yeah. And if you feel unworthy to be around God, you're right.
You're right.
Yeah.
But that's why we rely on his grace.
Yeah. And Earlier, Dave, you said that, you know, Simon Peter's response to the miracle was completely appropriate. He responded with fear and awe. Mm-hmm. In the light of Jesus' holiness, he saw himself more clearly. And it makes me think about the statement that Peter made in verse 5. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net. And I see verse 5 as a prayer. So, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. There's fear in that statement. How am I going to provide for my family? What am I going to do next? Is tomorrow night going to be the same? Is this the beginning of a trend? And I think that a lot of us end our days with a prayer that echoes that statement of Peter. And to get to the point where the next statement we make also echoes his, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. I know that you've got this, is a release of that fear.
Yeah. Jesus got you.
Jesus got you.
I'm going to get a tattoo with that, I think.
Well, I think that's a merch.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yes.
Jesus
merch.
Got you.
Sunday the 23rd, we'll have merch.
But
we actually won't, no.
But
no.
Why
don't come looking.
Let's just do tattoos. Why put it on a t-shirt when I can put it on my body forever?
Forever.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, what I think is cool today is certainly going to be cool 20 years from now.
Or 30 years from now.
Or who knows? So, and that's nothing against tattoos. In fact, I've told y'all this. I've tried to convince Paula to get a tattoo with me, right? I've told y'all this.
I don't think so.
No.
Elaborate.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was between a penguin and a dolphin. No.
And she said no?
She said no. I was like, let's just get a tattoo. Let's get matching tattoos on our ankles. But she does not like pain, and that probably around your ankles are a pretty sensitive area. So
I would
imagine so.
Yeah.
I've hit myself there a few times.
Yeah,
and
really.
It's not great.
Yeah, but to put indelible ink on there. So anyway, I'm still praying. Y'all pray for Paula that she will come around and do what I want her to. Okay, so then the final command here is that now you will fish for people. And if you look at this in the Greek, it literally means to bring people in alive, mm-hmm. much as you would, you know, when you bring up a fish, you bring it up alive. And so Jesus is saying, we're going to change some lives together. We want to see the world impacted. We're going to see people's lives changed. You'll bring them in alive, and you will change them for life. And so just think about this. If Peter had not followed Jesus, we would not be talking about him today. He could have been the most successful businessman. He would have been forgotten. But he followed Jesus, and we are still talking about his influence even today. I have one more thought I want to give as we kind of finish this up, but anything y'all are dying to say about this or anything else in this text?
I think, too, of the partners in the other boats and how they were blessed by this miracle as well, that when Peter, James, John, and Andrew dropped their nets to follow Jesus, the other fishermen who also had an equally bad night of fishing were able to reap the benefit of the miracle and use those fish to provide for their own needs. So when we're obedient to God, everyone around us is blessed as well. And that's what fishing for men is all about. You've seen this miracle. You've seen my abundance. Let's reach more people. Let's catch more people. Let's spread that net wide. And God originally entered into covenant with Abraham for this very reason. This is how God has always worked. He blessed Abraham so his children could be a blessing to all nations. He blesses us so we can be a light to the world. And when we reflect the light of God, it shines on all around us.
That's right.
I love that this passage takes a shift. Instead of just seeing Peter and Jesus, towards the end, the Greek starts using a lot of with or together language, mm-hmm. even almost koinonia-like language. You know, Peter signals for his partners who have been working with him all night to come out to support him, to encourage him, to together they could get the fish, and together they get all the fish into their boats. And then Jesus says, don't be afraid. Let's walk together.
Right.
As opposed to Matthew's or Mark's version of this encounter where Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He says, don't be afraid. Let's go at it together is the implied idea. And then there's this community, not just Jesus and Peter, but there's this community of people that are all going to experience what it's like to rescue people and free them from their sin and allow them to experience transformation.
Right.
I think if somebody's leading a community group, that's a pretty good thing to hit on and to say that's why we're here. We're here not just to change the world, but to change the world together under the Lordship mm-hmm. of Jesus. So two things I will say walking away. So I mentioned the podcast, Only Murders in the Building. Or a TV show, sorry. there's a podcast in the TV show.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So here's another TV show. Have any of you watched The Chosen?
Yes.
Okay. I have not yet.
All right. It's, you know, when something is that popular, I tend to shy away from it. But I've started watching The Chosen, and the depiction of this miraculous catch of fish is season one, episode five or something like that. It is fantastic. It really gives a good depiction of that mm-hmm. and how it was unexpected and unexplained. On a more biblical note, the second miraculous catch of fish that would happen in Peter's life happens at the end of the Gospel of John. And now Peter and his friends are offshore, Jesus speaking from the shore. They experience a miraculous catch of fish, but this time, instead of asking Jesus to get away from him, Peter's instinct is to go toward Jesus, and he takes off his outer garment, jumps in the water, and swims toward Jesus. And so that is something, too, that would continue to change in Peter. And by the way, he had just denied Christ several times, so he had every reason to want to hide. But by then, he had become familiar not only with Jesus, but had become familiar with Jesus' grace. Hmm. And that's what he ran toward. And I think the longer we follow Jesus, even as we sin, we have that instinct more and more, not to say, Lord, depart from me, but to say, it's Jesus, and we go toward him.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a wrap?
Absolutely.
Okay. one more thing I want to say, just a quick add. On January 30th, we are having our volunteer appreciation banquet, and if you're listening to this podcast, and by the way, I hope next week we're up to 200 listeners. Let's have that be our goal.
Come on, people, share this in your feed, share it in social media, share it with friends, just print flyers randomly and leave them on the streets.
Say this, and you know, tell people this is the best thing you've ever heard on any podcast.
We'll go for double aluminum.
Double aluminum next week. All right, or aluminium. What was I going to say? Oh, volunteer banquet.
The red carpet party.
Red carpet party, January 30th. If you are a teacher, director, you volunteer in any or every area of our church, you're invited to that. We want to appreciate you for our banquet that night. So with that, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Oh, Brad, wave goodbye to everyone. Brad, our little engineer back there, the little engineer that could. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine on you now and forever. Amen.
Amen.